I have planned a really great sermon. That's a joke. And this is the way it works. You get a really good beginning, a really good ending, and you put them really close together. That's a theory. Never works. I thought it would be good for us this morning to consider the next great event following the resurrection. That is called the ascension of Christ. And a basic passage we'll be looking at is Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I will be unable to convey to you how I feel about this truth. This is so great. This is absolutely glorious. This is what should happen. And it has happened. That our Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. Arguably, you could say this is the greatest event in Christianity. His ascension, his exaltation, marks the way for his return. So we look forward to that. Anyway, it's wonderful, essential, and vital for us. Would you follow the reading as I read Philippians 2, 9 through 11? Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, that is, Christ, and given Christ a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you like that, say amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? He came here in humiliation. Now he is in exaltation. Never again will anyone spit on him, kick him, beat him, ridicule him. Never, ever. He is now in glory. We need to look at one other passage to get the idea that this is an event. His ascension is an actual, factual, literal event. It's Acts chapter 1, again, beginning at verse 9. And it will be good for us to read this so we get the idea that one day he ascended. And I don't know, Acts is still in my Bible. Yeah, I found it. Jesus rose from the dead. He was here 40 days, talked to his disciples, and Paul writes that at one time he was seen by 500 people at once. Then he gave the disciples instructions about what would take place. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two angels stood by them in white garments, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So the ascension and the exaltation work together. It is a literal event. It is happened. It has happened. And some people say, well, Jesus was here, he died, he rose, what's he doing? What's he doing this morning? He is highly exalted. Now, if we're going to study a passage of Scripture, we first of all have to find the subject. And we're back to Philippians now. This passage is very clear that the subject is the exaltation of Christ. The second thing we must do is find the purpose for which it was written. The purpose is very clear and easy. Simply to reveal that God the Father has exalted his Son. Now, with the subject and the purpose, we can interpret the passage. If you can't find the subject, you can't find the purpose, you cannot properly interpret. So this is very clear in this passage. And as we approach the text, we ask the question. A good way to study the Bible is to ask it questions. What did you say and what did you mean? And so we ask the question. What does this text teach us about the exaltation of Christ? Again, it's very clear. This text teaches us that his exaltation is supreme, absolutely, totally, completely supreme. He is above all. He has been given a name that is above all names. It's the highest position possible. He is the highest in authority. He is above creation. He is above the flow of history since the day of Adam. He is in control of salvation. He is in authority over the end times. What is he doing this morning? He's bringing this world system as we know it now to the end. All authority. Jesus said that before he left here. He said, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and preach." John 17 declares the same thing. There is no question this morning about who is in charge. It is no earthly ruler. It's no king, no parliament, no Congress, no politician. Amen. Amen. Glory. It's him. He's supreme. The question is he supreme over us? Is he the authority in your life this morning? Do you live under his authority? Or are you going it on your own? Working out your own life. I have no hesitation to say to you this morning, his exaltation is supreme. None higher in authority or in rank or in name. We sing, Jesus, name above all names. And rightly so. Who is he? He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. He's the crucified one. He's the risen one. He's the bright and morning star. He's the light of the world and the bread of life. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. And he is the bread of life. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrection and the life. He's the good shepherd, and he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. He's the great high priest, and he's the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Rock of all ages. He is the heavenly bridegroom. He is highly exalted. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he rules forever and ever. And right now, this morning, if you can believe that, you can sleep at night. If you don't believe that, you're troubled. We're in a troubled time. This world is in turmoil. And our own country is probably worse. And if you don't have Lord God Almighty ruling in your heart and life, you also are in trouble. He is ruling in power. Now there is one other name we must consider. And that's a name that Jesus used, recorded in John chapter 8, verse 58, where he said to the Jewish people, before Abraham was, I am. I am is big in Scripture. It's the name that God told Moses to use before Pharaoh. God says, go back to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Moses said, what name shall I say sent me? God says, tell Pharaoh, I am sent me. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? I am before Abraham. More than that, I am before Noah. More than that, I am before Adam. More than that, I always was, I am. I always was. I have no beginning. I am God. That's what he said. I was always God. I am God. I always will be God. His exaltation is supreme. And I would pray this morning that every heart here would be rejoicing. Everything is all right because he is in heaven ruling. You know that this event and this exaltation of Christ is the will of God. This was God's intended will from all eternity, to exalt his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his will. This was his purpose. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he shall speak of me. The Holy Spirit does not take the front place. He gives it to Christ. He shall speak of me. This is the will of God. Now may the Lord make that our will. What is your will, your purpose, your reason for living out a few years on this earth? If it is not to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, you are missing. You're missing the whole thing. This is what life is all about, to exalt the Lord Jesus. If you do that, life will be full. If not, it'll be empty. No matter what you could have on this earth, it's empty unless he is supreme. His exaltation is reason for celebration. And we are here to celebrate them this morning that he is highly exalted. So we say from this passage, what does this text teach us about the exaltation of Christ? First of all, it teaches us that his exaltation is supreme. Secondly, it teaches us that his exaltation is demanding. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Heaven, earth, under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is that? It's not for salvation. It's too late. This is judgment. This will be the demand and the requirement of God Almighty that everyone who has ever lived as a human being will be required to make this statement. everyone you can think of in history who has been anti-Christ, anti-God, and the people who are presently giving themselves to take God out of our nation and not to allow the name of Christ to be spoken publicly will be made to confess He's Lord. But I say to you this morning, they will never succeed in taking Christ away from us. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
I tell you, we're winners. We are winners. They are losers. This morning, we willingly, lovingly, humbly bow our knee in worship. We worship Him. We confess, Jesus, You are Lord. Is that true of you? Are you willing to do that this morning? You might as well, because one day you'll have to. No one will get away with denying that He is Lord. His exaltation is supreme. His exaltation is demanding. And as we have communion this morning, we worship this exalted Savior. As you eat the bread, the symbol of His body broken, and drink from the cup, the symbol of His blood shed, we commune with Him. As you have the bread in the cup, talk to Him. Say to Him, Lord Jesus, I love You. Work in my heart. Cause me to worship You with all my being. And it'll be a glorious communion time. What a privilege and opportunity. The communion service is not to keep anybody away. It is the celebration that we can come, that we are forgiven, and that He is Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.